The Gist is sponsored by The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, the new documentary series from HBO. 4 decades, 3 murders, and 1 very rich man who refused to speak until now. The Jinx airs Sundays at 8, only on HBO.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
It's Friday, February 13th, 2015. From Slate, it's The Gist. I'm Mike Pesca. You know, Alabama has been getting a lot of flack, deservedly so, for taking a benighted stance on gay marriage. Judge Roy Moore is out to prove that he's the Nick Saban of jurists indeed. Instead, he is proving himself to be the Mike Shula. Ooh, college football burn. Listen, I get 3 audience alienators each week, and I just used one there. I know. But you know what? Right now, let's be kind to Alabama. It's not everyone in Alabama. There's good in Alabama. I was researching Alabama achievements. I came across this. What has Alabama given us? The auga sound of the klaxon horn. The iconic auga noise of the klaxon horn was created by Miller Reese Hutchinson of Baldwin County. He said the regular car horns were too melodic. He thought it should be annoying in order to warn people of approaching cars. According to a 1908 edition of The Horseless Age, the horn was to produce a roar, quote, the like of which has never been heard by man or beast. And I said, upon reading this, my God, there was a magazine called The Horseless Age. Isn't that like a magazine called Cat Unfancy? What a weird affinity group. People united in their distaste of horses. It's like Manhole Unenthusiast, Sandwich Detester Illustrated. I've got a slew of these. Sturgeon Aversion. Or for moms who want to bottle feed, Lactation Disinclination. And for that weird subset of S&M devotees who like S&M but in natural, breathable fabrics, Leather Loather. No, of course. Horseless Age was the name of an auto trade magazine in the very early days of the 20th century. I found one from 1905. It's the Physician's Edition. Quote, owing to its greater speed, the automobile permits physicians to attend to urgent cases more promptly, and a number of cases have been recorded in our columns where it was thought that a life was saved through the use of the auto, and all the ads are oriented towards the physicians who might be in the market for a Rambler. They also write, it's impossible to drive a horse, not to speak of cleaning him, without getting one's clothing contaminated with decaying organic matter, which it would be positively harmful to bring into the sick room. True that, Horseless Age. By the way, the same goes for riding a kitten, or I would assume that's true, but Cat Unfancy has ceased publication. Alas, Leather Loather is still going strong. In the spiel, I honor a friend and discuss working through difficult music. But first, the term means throwing shade or talking trash or taking someone to school. And what's the first R of taking someone to school? Read. The Read podcast is in the house. Listen, we'll begin our conversation as they do, and then the interview will happen.
Racism is what made me watch the fucking Super Bowl.
Okay. Why? Wait,
and it didn't really even have anything. I was just thinking about...
Racism made me watch the Super Bowl.
Okay, so I don't give a shit about sports at all. Yeah. Like, okay. I couldn't care. The only time that I really sit in front of a sports game and pretend I'm watching it is when I go home to visit my family. And it's just to make my father feel like I give any slice of a fuck about sports. Because it, in my head, it makes him feel like he has a straight son.
Okay.
And he deserves it. You know, like, he's a great dad. Maybe for an hour I can make him feel like I like women.
Okay.
Whatever. But this year, I just really... I don't know. After the whole Marshawn Lynch thing, mm-hmm. and that compared and contrasted against Richard Sherman, it was just how can I not root for the Seahawks? It was just mm-hmm. here you got this black dude who's excited about football and completely I'm not going to say anything to any of you because I just want to play the game.
Right.
I don't really care about your questions. I say the same thing every week. I don't want to talk about
it. And people said about him.
He's a thug. Fuck him. Who the hell does he think he is?
Right.
It's what are we doing? Can you just cut our lips off and take them? Why don't you just take our tongues and you just control what we... What are we supposed to do?
Why don't we just tap dance to whatever beat you decide
yes,
to play
Let me just paint on some big old red lips and tap dance for you and make again.
Right. Actually, so that's what really made me. A 15-yard penalty in the NFL.
Okay. Okay.
That's what made me watch
celebration.
And then I was devastated with this piss poor.
Can we not know shit about this damn game?
What in hell makes you think you are a teaspoon away from winning this goddamn game, and you decided to throw this ball?
Yeah, when you have Marshawn Lynch.
Why do you think they threw the ball? Have you heard the theories?
Shrooms? I don't know.
Have you heard the theories?
No.
I don't even want to support this. I can't confirm this. People in the Seahawks locker room saying Coach Pete Carroll does not want Marshawn Lynch to get the glory, wants his favorite, beloved quarterback to get the glory and a receiver instead. Denying the glory to Marshawn Lynch. That is an actual thing that's being reported.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was
true. I would not be surprised if that was true.
So,
I don't know if it is, but I would not be shocked.
Let's just lose this whole entire game on national television after Katy Perry just soared across here as the More You Know's damn star. Let's just give it all away.
Let's give the glory to Russell Wilson, but you're banking on Russell Wilson not throwing an interception where you could just give it to Marshawn Lynch and let him take it. It just defies all logic. And you over here harassing this man about not wanting to give interviews. Like, is he executing in the damn game, though? Okay.
I never knew, again, as a person who watched, like, Sailor Moon and not soccer.
Right. No, I get it.
I always just assumed that no one even paid attention to those interviews anyway, because it always just sounded like, well, you know, me and my friend.
Okay.
I think you're actually literally quoting Shaq in a Shaq voice.
That's
right
what
there.
It's. Yeah. They all sound like that to me. Like, you know, I just love the game and just have a feeling of the ball in my hand. That's it. Okay.
I just don't think
you
it's
gotta conserve their
enough.
Energy for the court or the field. They can't do much.
And that's fine.
Facial expression in their
that's great.
Comments. Yeah. You are listening to some version of The Read. The Read is one of the best podcasts out there. Not only is The Read one of the best podcasts, this section of The Read called The Read, which is their version of Spiels, if you want me to translate it to just speak. The hosts of The Read are Crystal and Kid Fury. They're here with me. Hello, guys.
Hi.
You're big on blogs, vlogs. You like the term vlogs?
It Wikipedia, always sounded weird to me.
Right? Yeah, the V and the L together. Did
you
guys
say video?
But you guys met by tweeting at each other.
Yeah.
Pretty much. For two funny people who recognize the humor in each other.
We just so happened to follow each other on Twitter, and then one year we happened to be in the same city for New Year's, so we met up, and we've just been friends ever since.
The off-mic interaction a lot like what we hear on The Read now? Was it immediate and you guys were riffing on each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember that you were at my friend Dimple's house and you were asking. Yeah, my friend DJ Dimples. We were in Atlanta and you came over and I remember being in the kitchen. You're sitting across from me and you just, I don't remember how we got here, but you were asking me to name like five dark-skinned celebrities that I found attractive because she was just convinced that I'm only attracted to light-skinned guys.
And that is, that's not
Listen,
without
we
basis.
Don't have to do this.
No, we don't. Right. I'm just
so
saying, I had a point.
But either way, all the ones I named, you ain't never heard of before, and that's not my fault.
Anyway.
And it also speaks true today because you still don't know
this
who
was
half
years
of the
ago,
people I talk
about
are.
And you still feel away about it.
Anyway.
Mike,
so, yes.
Let
it started
go.
From the beginning.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, I guess it started from the beginning.
And so, your show is based on commentary about life and current events, but tons of pop culture, hip-hop culture, pop culture, music. What else am I leaving at? And then people write in with advice.
Yeah,
but they're not. Are they really looking for advice?
Well,
looking,
I think some
they're looking
people,
to be yelled at maybe a little bit.
I
some
think
of
some
them
people want to be reassured of what the right thing is to do. But I do think some of them legit need their questions answered. So we get so many letters from girls and some guys who just cannot seem to get rid of their terrible boyfriends.
It's never a woman, by the way. It's never my girlfriend sucks.
Oh,
it's
no,
never
it's
my
never.
Wife is awful.
It's never.
It's never my stud is a bitch. It's always a man.
Yes.
Every and a woman writing about a man always?
It's usually a woman writing about a man, but a lot of times it'll be a man.
Frequently
writing about
it's
a man
but it's never anyone writing about a woman.
Like, almost never. Very rarely.
Are the reasons all the same? Is the advice all the same? Are there a million reasons why you
it's
can't get rid of your fuck
common
boy?
Common stuff.
Right. It's things like he doesn't answer the phone in a timely manner. He waits days and days to call me back. I've never met his family. He's really secretive around me. You know, the same red flags that it's like for some reason, people just do not want to face reality. So.
Yep. And then Kid Fury loads it up and says, girl, you have got to dump his ass. That, right. I mean,
and
I've heard of
something. The exact way that you start to. Every
I feel like that is close. That's
sounded like
pretty accurate. But yeah, no, it's always something like. I don't know how we wouldn't react that way because yeah. it'll be something like, oh, want. Hey, so I'm dating this guy and he shot my car with a grenade launcher and slapped my mother. And
right.
But I just love him so much. What do I do?
Like,
file charges.
Right.
Like,
me and my
send
boyfriend
him...
have been together for 5 years, but he kicked my niece in the face. And I just don't know how to forgive him. Like, right. girl, what are we supposed to do about
he
that?
He dropped our baby. He doesn't care.
Right. Like, just the same, the sort of thing that anybody outside of the situation would be like, of course you don't tolerate this kind of shit, you know?
So.
We just have to say that outright sometimes to people. They need to hear it.
I think it's like basketball analogy. Point guard, power forward. You set him up. He slams. But sometimes, sometimes,
I guess.
Sometimes you,
sure.
you know,
well,
sometimes
I don't think
the point guard scores a lot too.
I'm just saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
About. I get the, yeah. I get the reference, but I think we don't really put probably that much thought into it because there's
well,
a lot of times that I'm like
things, right.
the mm-hmm. dramatic, emotional, political one, and he's like, okay, let's talk about. Doritos. Like, you know, somebody to balance out how ridiculously...
Attacked.
What do you mean?
What
you
know? So I don't talk about anything
No, I'm
snacks?
Saying, like, I get so crazy and, like, dramatic and sad. And so you're like, all right, well, let's, you know, talk about something lighthearted
no,
and fun.
She just always wraps the show up with a read that's about, like...
Oh, and you
like
feel away.
Like, ableism or, like, the
okay.
ozone layer. It's always something so powerful.
Shut up.
And then mine is, like, something just bratty and stupid, like someone like pushed me to get on the train and I'm angry, and hers is like connecting the dots of the world and bringing peace. And it's like, so
I mean, but this is just who we are. Like, I think that's kind of part of why the show works.
Yeah,
we're just,
I suck
we
and
have,
your mother.
No, nobody's shut the fuck up.
So is ableism, does the umbrella of ableism cover the story about the blind kid born without eyes, so he is blind, mm-hmm. who had his cane taken away at school?
I actually did a read about that.
And they gave him a...
A pool noodle.
Pool noodle.
Yes. That
and
was
every
just...
time you said pool noodle, it got funnier and funnier.
It was just like absurd.
A pool noodle.
But you have to repeat that,
yeah.
you know, 7 or 8 times for people to really
a
get how
yeah.
absurd
it's like,
it
let's
is.
Brainstorm the most insulting thing
right.
we could give in place of a cane.
Like,
a
seriously,
pool noodle.
Go it's... break me off a switch from the tree before you give me a fucking pool. Like,
well, if it's a strong switch, it'll serve better than a pool noodle.
Exactly. A fucking yeah. pool noodle is
they
rude.
They deserve to be slapped with cold,
right.
wet hands.
Right. That was
They're
just
so disrespectful
so wrong.
For that.
Like, not a baby, but a child still.
I
and
think
he's blind.
Eight. He's eight, yeah.
Like, you
and,
know.
And then... Well, we could do it because we, the school,
own
the cane.
Okay.
What the hell is that?
All right.
You
so
own the cane.
So repeat that when you die and it comes time to
well,
answer
you know,
to
we
God
own
for the decisions you made. Like, yes, God, I did take a cane from a blind 8-year-old, but in my defense, I owned it.
That's such a lie.
All right. Yeah. No. Okay. Sure, you can come right
such
on in.
Such a common theory.
Just, what is wrong with people?
This is mine, so I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want,
like,
even if
okay.
it doesn't make any sense.
You don't even need the cane. Like, this, he's blind. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? It's just like, every time I think about it, I'm just like, what the hell? What the hell? People are crazy.
What was another one like that? Another one that kind of came up from people pointing to a, like, local official doing something stupid or a thing that was in the news that, you know, people brought to your attention. Can you remember another one like that?
Well, I mean, we've...
How... I feel like we reached a point where we're just like, let's just talk about Housewives this week because so depressing.
Right.
Which
I
is
think
your favorite
real life
iteration.
Got really depressing for a while because
yeah.
for like a span of, I feel, months, my reads were always about something racist or sexist or both or, you know, some horrible injustice or some terrible thing that happened in the media where, you know, white people were celebrated and black people were demeaned. And so I think it got so serious for a while and it was based off real life events for so long that now I'm kind of feeling like I'm ready to maybe not always talk about what's going on in the news, but
Because, I mean, we don't even really go looking for those stories. A lot of the times, you know about them already. We're going to talk about them anyway. Mm-hmm. We do it on the show. But there was just, like, a moment where it was just every single day something fucked up was happening. And it was either tied to racism or sexism or something ridiculous. And it was just like, I need a Twix.
Right.
Like, and a nap.
It would be nice to have a break somewhere where it is just like sunny and nobody is killing black people for just, you know, being black.
Hey, maybe like an hour.
like if I could just
let me just go
clock out of this racist ass society for just like a little while and just relax my nerves and then I could come back maybe. But yeah, I definitely feel like we both were at a tipping point where we were just like, we need a break.
So here I am. I'm on the iTunes page, top podcast, Invisibilia Serial, This American Life, Fresh Air. I'll go down to where you guys are and the ones around you are Slate Plots is Working and The Bugle and Mad Money, Jim Cramer on the media. My point is, other than Snap Judgment, that's 24, and you got Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's pretty much a white thing, podcasting, to this day. Why is that? Does it have to be? Do you think you're going to change that?
Well, I think podcasting is a medium that has largely, like, up to this point, been mostly by and for white people. The only podcast I had ever even heard of was This American Life. And so, and everyone I knew who listened to This American Life was white. So when he first came to me about the idea, one of the concerns I had was that nobody would listen because podcasting was that white of a world. So I think, you know, there's been some shows now that podcasting is sort of becoming more popular, then we're seeing the diversity start to pop up and there are, you know, more hosts coming in of all different ethnicities and races talking about a bunch of different topics. So, you know, I think even still now it's largely looked at as a white thing.
It's definitely like a medium that's in a specific stage right now that's very, like, crucial. I think that there's a lot more awareness when it comes to podcasts and the different, like, there's a large variety of things you can do with it. It doesn't have to just be, you know, pop culture talk or news or
Well, it could be as, the great thing about it is it could be as niche as you want it
to be. It can be whatever you want.
Not to address
want.
The right. niche of what, like, 14% of the population is into.
Exactly.
That doesn't even make sense.
And I think that now, you know, black people, I think the hip-hop community, too, are a little bit more aware of podcasting and of, you know, the different things you can do with it. And so it's kind of like, I remember YouTube, like, YouTube was around for years before, like, people really started, like, using it and uploading it. And at first it was just people talking about, you know, what they had for breakfast. And then it was, like, people doing their own little mini shows. And now you can, like, rent and watch full films on there and stuff.
Right.
You know, and same thing with Twitter and Instagram and all of these other things. I think podcasts are in that direction now where people are really, like, seeing that it's a huge world that you can do a lot of dope things with.
What's
so.
the racial makeup of the people who go to your live shows, would you say?
It's mostly black, but we do have white people.
Yeah.
More than you thought?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Because,
you
love
know, we are really not at all shy. We don't hold back about race. And there are a few
all.
White people who are willing to listen to that. So, I mean, and then not only listen, but then spend money to come see us. So, yeah,
because
it was
all it really takes is for you, like, color aside, all it really takes is for you to accept why things are the way that they are and, you know, accept the history and just be like, okay, you know what? Some shit is fucked up. And, like, I don't have, like, I don't feel like because you're saying that things are fucked up that you hate me. I don't feel like because you're acknowledging that racism exists and that shit is unfair, I'm not going to take that personally and feel like you hate me as a white person. You know, like, it's really refreshing to have people come and be like, I totally fucking get it. And like at the show in Houston, a couple, like, maybe last weekend, this white, one of the guys afterwards who took the best pictures from the whole show came to me and was like, I was raised by white people, so, like, I'm just doing the best I can out here. And it was so funny, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm
yeah.
sure your parents funny are fucking awesome. But it's just like, you understand that it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Funny is funny, and hey.
white people always say the conversations that you guys, because frequently we will break off into conversations talking how we think other people talk, like Blue Ivy or white people. And so white people at the show sometimes will come up to us and be like, those conversations you have about what white people say behind closed doors are 100% accurate. Like, you could film my family at Thanksgiving and it would be the exact same shit y'all are saying on the show.
Or like when Naya Rivera said that she thought that like bathing every day was white people shit.
Girl, so, yeah, but white people are dope.
Thank you. Let's end on that note. Crystal, Kid Fury, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
The Gist is sponsored by The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, the new documentary series from HBO. 4 decades, 3 murders, and 1 very rich man who refused to speak until now. The Jinx is filmmaker Andrew Jarecki's 6-part examination of Robert Durst, the reclusive millionaire at the heart of 3 murders. It exposes long-buried information discovered during a 7-year investigation of a series of unsolved crimes. It was made with the cooperation of Durst, who has consistently maintained his innocence and remains a free man today. Durst came to know Jarecki, the Oscar-nominated director of Capturing the Freedmans, after Jarecki released a feature film, All Good Things, which was a fictional account of Durst's life. The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, airs Sundays at 8, only on HBO. And now the spiel from a sympathetical hurricane. Today I attended the funeral of Robert Lichtman, my friend Dave's brother. Sometimes on Hang Up and Listen I refer to Lichtman. Dave is the Lichtman that I'm talking about. His brother Bobby lived a life of brilliance, intensity, and conviction. For his adult life, he was not only Bobby Lichtman, but also Bobby Citrin, who in 1994 put out an album on Columbia that the label, frankly, did not know what the hell to do with. Bobby grew up loving the blues, funk, Springsteen, and Public Enemy. In fact, he knocked on the door of Public Enemy's studio, somehow ingratiated himself into their world, began working there, went on to engineer and play guitar on the rap duo Das FX's debut album that eventually went platinum. Hey yo, beep it. Can you keep it down while I rock? Tick tock about this chick around the block. She was hot host to the most hostess, no boasting. Back in 85, she was live, yo, no joking, a real go-getter. But Bobby was also making his own music. And in 1994, his CD From a Sympathetical Hurricane came out. The music writer Dave Marsh wrote, Bobby Citrin is there to confound you. He'll confuse just about every expectation you have by clinging together elements of hip-hop, folk, rock and roll, politics, romance, and sheer bloody-mindedness. Well, confound he did. I think the album might have set anti-sales records. And this was Columbia Records. Let me read to you, starting in the mid-S's, from the list of all-time Columbia label recording artists. Ready? Dinah Shore, Wayne Shorter, Bobby Citrin, Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon, Carly Simon, Frank Sinatra. Right about the time From a Sympathetical Hurricane came out, a folk hip-hop hybridist was all over L.A. radio. Beck Hansen, who later dropped the Hansen, was doing something a lot like Bobby. If anything, he was doing it not as boldly. G Love was in that realm, too. They're all white rap experimenters. Here's a taste of Bobby's sound. Ain't got much. You got me. You got me. You really got me. Don't break my heart, kid. I kind of liked it. The lyrics were good, the singing was bad. That was like Dylan and Lou Reed, and I like them. But mostly my reaction was, I know this guy. This was a guy who, when he was a high school senior and I was a freshman, I needed to impress because he was on the board who decided who got to attend the Harvard Model United Nations. High stakes. Then after Bobby graduated high school, he went to Columbia and he dropped out to pursue his music. So this was around 1991, before we had a word for that move, but now we do. Gangsta. So when his album came out, I really needed to work with it. You know, it wasn't what I would seek out, but I really gave it a chance in a way I wouldn't have if I had heard it without some sort of personal connection to the artist. In a way that, if I'm being honest, I do not listen to music today. But not only did I give it a chance, I grew to give it a lot of respect. Unpretty as it was, this song, Stray Dog, was popular, let's say kind of popular in Germany. For you, baby. Listen, watch me. Stron in den Hund went to number 4 in Stuttgart. Well, at least he got booked to play some club dates. There is this part where Bobby barks like a dog at the end of the song. Like I said, sometimes difficult music. But do you know what you're hearing? You're hearing commitment. Bobby really had a vision, and he wouldn't compromise. This was true his whole life. It's part of the reason why there was no follow-up to From a Sympathetical Hurricane until about a dozen years later, and that album was more blues and fewer beats. Bobby, hip-hop fusion pioneer, went on to join the Army National Guard, rose to the rank of captain, he got married, and a few years ago he developed a brain tumor. I haven't seen him in a while, and I hadn't listened to that album all the way through in a few years either. Well, at least now I get to do that. Bobby Citrin, Robert Lichtman, was 45 years old. Thanks for listening. Things ain't what they used to be. That is true, it's not news to me, but maybe it's okay. This is why a one-eyed jack, hide your cars and watch your back if you wanna play. That's what people say. People come and people go, leaving you just one thing to know, you're falling if you stay. If there's one or maybe two who at the end will still know, you don't get carried away. That's what people say.
I'm David Plotz. This week on the Slate Political Gabfest, the gazillionaire, the student, Stanford University, a sexual assault case, and the confusing, dreadful gender politics of Silicon Valley. Look for us in the Slate store on iTunes or at slate.com/podcasts.